As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This, let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, good morning to you. Happy you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's a Thursday morning and seems kind of dark in the studio this morning. I can't figure this out. And you'd normally I walk into a bat cave. Kim St. Ange does not like light. She likes to hide in the dark.
It's cozy. It's so early. And then you come on, you know, guns blazing with all the lights. And it's like the teenager who's trying to sleep in and mom and dad come in and just there's no easing into it. You just flip all the lights on and make the kid wake up. It's kind of like that.
What am I missing here, Ethan? Because I can barely even see her over there. Why is it so much darker in the studio?
You can barely see me over here?
Yes. Wow. Maybe I'm going blind. I don't know what's going on.
That has to be it.
She is a little darker over there.
Thank you.
It feels fantastic. It does seem
a little darker over there.
Maybe one of those lights behind you are turned.
Like, yeah.
I think we leave it as it is.
Oh, boy. You know, yesterday I had a chance to listen to the Annie Fry Show. I don't get to do that every day. And this whole mascot bill that's going on in Illinois, we're going to talk about this this morning because you have to understand what happens in a society like or a state like Illinois, for example, when the insane left is completely in control. And we're seeing this in this House bill that has already passed in Illinois. It's on to the Senate now, where it's probably going to get rubber stamped by the left-wing progressive majority up in Springfield. And then it's going to go to the left-wing progressive governor, J.B. Pritzker, and then it's going to become law. And it's going to strip local school districts of their ability to have a mascot of their choosing. Honestly, it's going to cause local school districts, it's going to cost them millions of dollars to retool, to repaint stadiums, to, you know, repaint in some cases the billboards that they have outside of their schools.
Order new uniforms, t-shirts,
millions
swag.
And millions of dollars because one state legislator decided somebody's feelings were hurt or got butthurt because they call somebody the Mighty Midgets. And the person complaining about it is not even a midget. So I just fail to understand what's going on. I listened to Annie yesterday, and I know they're going to have a rally this Sunday over in Collinsville, a bipartisan rally. Now, I mean, Annie is correct in saying that it is bipartisan because the effort really it crosses political lines. I agree with that statement completely. You can be a Democrat or Republican, but odds are if you grew up identifying as a mighty midget or an Indian, that was your mascot at your high school, it doesn't matter what your politics are. You're going to defend. I was a Hornet. What was yours, Kim?
Longhorns.
A Longhorn. Who's offended by that? What if the National Association of Longhorns decides they need to ban that?
Well, Longhorn Steakhouse probably was very offended.
Thank you. They could have been. It's possible. But the politics comes into it for me because it is the left-wing, nutty politics of the state of Illinois, the people in charge up there, that are pushing this. So I would hope that if you're bothered by it and you are a Democrat, you take a look at that and say, hey, wait a minute. Why is my party doing this to me? I mean, I think it's worth saying, right? I know people personally who are hard lefties, but happen to be competitive swimmers at some point, including in college, and are female and are deeply bothered by the fact that a male swimming as a female might displace them from the podium at the end of the championship race. And my comment to them was, this is your party. These are the people you support that are doing this crazy stuff. So while I hope people come together unified in opposition to this, the reason it's happening in the first place is because of the people the idiots in Cook County vote for. That's it. These are progressive left-wing politicians. And there were some Democrats that voted against it. And I know Annie has invited a couple of them to this rally on Sunday. And I hope they show up. I think it's at Collinsville High School at like 2 o'clock.
I'll be curious to see how many people show up.
Yeah. Well, the school districts are involved. Like, now the school districts are telling people about the rally because the school districts aren't anxious for this to happen either.
Well, no, and I think they'd have until 2027 to make the adjustment, but still, that's a lot of change you have to make and still a pretty short amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I bet you a lot of people who are alumni of those schools, the Mighty Midgets, probably don't want to publicly, like on the news, say, oh, this is ridiculous. Why do we care? You know, who's really offended by this? Privately, they support, you know what I mean? Because they don't want to look as, oh, I'm offensive and I am inconsiderate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I bet you a larger majority of people think that this whole thing is stupid than the amount of people who would actually go publicly say
right.
that.
No, I think I would agree.
Everyone's so scared of coming off as, these days, as homophobic or xenophobic or what racist. It's like all the terms that get thrown at you.
Yeah, you just need to relax a little bit. Come on over to this side of the aisle where you're freed of all of that guilt. It's liberating. It really is. Once you wake
water's
up
warm.
And realize that the water's warm and you can come on and get in the pool. You really can. You don't have to live with what'd you call it yesterday? The white guilt card? Is that what we decided? The white privilege card?
Something like that.
That's what it was when it comes to race. In this particular case, you know, it's the ethnicity issue that you're offended by. I don't know. I think they need to get the guy on from Game of Thrones and ask him if he's offended by it.
Tyrion?
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage.
One
of
love
the best
that
actors.
Guy.
I
love
he's
that
great.
Guy. But I don't think he would suggest that the fact that he's short or suffers from dwarfism or whatever his particular malady happens to be has in any way held him back from a very successful career in acting. Do whatever you want.
The guy's a multi-millionaire.
Yeah. Thank you. I know. You go, call me an elf one more time. Maybe they could change it to the Mighty Elves. You think people would be more offended or less offended by that?
Oh, my gosh. That'd
I'm just
so
saying.
Funny.
It could be. We'll have to ask that question to somebody for sure. Yeah, lots to get to this morning. Ryan Schmelz coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll get to Ryan and talk to him a little bit because the of course, Senator Van Hollen has been speaking out now. Yet another one of his constituents was killed by one of the illegal aliens he seems so dead set on defending. here illegally. And of course, this guy just gets back from El Salvador, where he's trying to help another illegal make it back to America. It's complete insanity. The Blues play tonight. I saw the TV stations live over there in front of the Enterprise Center this morning, and we've got Tom Ackerman on at 6:35 to talk about what they need to do now that they're down 2-0, right?
0-2 for the series.
0-2 at this point. We'll get to all that for you coming up. But right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is life and death for the House Republican Party, because they have to have a strong economy in 2026 if they're going to have a chance to keep their majority.
Newt Gingrich last night, the former House Speaker, I think he's absolutely right. It is life or death. Raising taxes in this reconciliation bill would make zero sense.
We don't articulate as Black women our pain, because it's almost like nobody ever gave us permission to do that.
And does anyone care?
Don't you feel so bad for her? Multi-million dollar houses all over the place, Hawaii, I mean, Upper East Coast. Poor Michelle Obama.
We were all outraged by the speech that was given by Jerome Powell last week. It was really, I've been following this for 40 years. I thought it was the most outrageous partisan attack against a new president that I've ever seen.
Wait a minute, Stephen Moore. What are you talking about? Are you alleging that the head of the Federal Reserve is doing something that's partisan? That's shocking.
I haven't called him, but I believe he's making a mistake by not lowering interest rates. And I think as well as we're doing, we'd do much better. He's keeping rates too high.
Yeah, that's Donald Trump exercising his First Amendment rights there to tell you that he believes what Jerome Powell's doing at the Fed is wrong. And he thinks he needs to adjust his policy. He's not firing him, but he's allowed to have that opinion as the person who's trying to save this country after four disastrous years of Joe Biden. And you can't have it both ways. I saw Elizabeth Warren bite yesterday praising Jerome Powell for cutting interest rates right before the election last year. But now she's mad that Donald Trump wants him to cut interest rates now that Donald Trump is president. It's complete hypocrisy by the left on this, and I thought it never hurts to point those things out. All right, quick break here. Ethan, who is bringing us our national anthem this morning?
With the Blues playing tonight, I picked my favorite one, so I'm going to go with Charles Glenn.
Nice.
Oh, say can you see?
We started out friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend. Yeah, yeah.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
All right, welcome back. You know, we're talking a few minutes ago about this Illinois House bill. I've got the number here in front of me somewhere, but it's moved on to the Senate, and they're debating it, and it would, of course, prevent schools from having their longtime mascots. They would have to change their name if they're the Indians or the Mighty Midgets or it was anything that might remotely offend some schmuck somewhere. And a friend of mine texted me a few minutes ago and says, you know, this is everywhere. Like, we already knew the Boy Scouts of America had gone woke, and they have, horribly woke. The ruination started when they allowed girls to join the Boy Scouts. It's no longer the Boy Scouts. In fact, they've just shortened it to Scouts. They were going to go with Ballless Scouts of America, but that apparently didn't work.
Was that taken?
Yeah, it was already taken. Shoot. So they didn't do that. But he was just reminding me that just last year. So my son is a Eagle Scout, by the way. So I'm pretty well versed in how this all goes down. And there's a point along the way with the merit badges where you go off to summer camp, and if you are, there's an Order of the Arrow, it's called, which is a group within the group, and if you're selected to be a member of that because they recognize that you have certain skills, you're excelling in certain things, they secretly invite you into this, and then the kids go out across the lake one night, and they hold a ceremony that was steeped in Indian folklore is what it was. The Order of the Arrow is what it was called. It was an amazing ceremony from my understanding of it, my son describing it to me. And the kids go out and they spend the night in the woods and they have a bonfire and they have this ceremony. And last year, the Ballless Scouts of America announced that they were eliminating any reference to Native Americans. So they pretty much eliminated the entire point of the ceremony, that you're going to be one with the earth and you're going to learn the ways of our ancestors and the Native Americans who honored, you know, nature. And it's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who was possibly offended by that? That's what I want to know.
Well, so now would girls be part of that ceremony? Because can't they join the Scouts? Isn't it just Scouting America?
I'm sure they could, but what's that got to do with it?
It's not about gender.
Well,
no, but I just think about now, instead of like having them out with tents, they'll probably have them out with campers and stuff if they're trying to get the girls there to convince them to go.
You know, my daughter, my oldest, the youngest too, was in Girl Scouts for a little while, and you know, we obviously made a little bit of fun of them about starting campfires with what we called Girl Scout juice, which was a starter fluid. You know, you'd mm-hmm. put that on there and to try to start a fire instead of starting it the old fashioned way. But they did do some camping in tents. Mm-hmm. They also did a lot of camping in cabins.
there's a show, it's very weird, but it's called Naked and Afraid. And there's some impressive women who are very well-versed in this type of stuff. And I mean, they don't even have a tent. Oh, they have to build their own shelter. It's not like they couldn't do it, but it's the fact that this organization sits there and tries to cater to everyone in the name of inclusivity.
Yes.
Or, like you said, they're worried about them offending the Native Americans, and that's why they have to get rid of all ties to it.
This is the sad part of the whole thing. Do I have any doubt that there aren't plenty of women? I don't know. Perhaps Kim St. Ange here, who could successfully meet the requirements to get an Eagle badge. Absolutely.
Maybe.
Well, I don't. I'm just saying that I have no doubt in my mind there are girls perfectly capable of doing that. That's not the point. The thing about Scouts when my kid was in it and we were going to these early campouts and all this was letting boys be boys. This is about the emasculation of America. That's all it's about. Why can't there be a separate organization where these kids can get up and, you know, around the campfire in the morning, chase each other with sticks that they've heated up in the fire and try to torture each other? Just do things boys do.
I think boys would be different with girls around. And same.
If you introduce girls into that mm-hmm. environment, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And you've lost something there. And they don't care. This was a money grab by the Ballless Scouts of America to allow girls in because their attendance, their numbers were down.
Well, I've heard Girl Scouts, by the way, even contributes or has contributed to Planned Parenthood. So just keep that in mind.
Well, I'm not praising Girl Scouts. I'm just saying I had no problem with there being two separate groups. But that's not allowed in this society anymore. You have to emasculate the men and not let them have their own thing anymore because, heaven forbid, they hang out with each other and they're not being politically correct. What a tragedy we've allowed to happen in this country. Maybe it's turning around a little bit. I don't know. All right. We're going to get to Kim on a Whim right after this. Stay tuned.
Solutions with conviction. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. Kim on a Whim.
It really shouldn't surprise any of us to know that the birth rate here in the United States is near record low. And it has been for the last couple of years.
Yeah, oddly. A part of it is all of those women that cut their hair off and decided they didn't want to have babies because Donald Trump was going to be president. Maybe that contributed.
Out of protest. We'll show these men.
Thank you for removing yourself from the gene pool. Can I just mention that? But go ahead.
Pew Research Center asked people, adults age 18 to 49, what's your reason for not wanting to have kids? Here's the breakdown. 57%, so the overwhelming number of people, said they just don't want to. 44%, they want to focus on other things. 38%, concerns with the world. 36%, can't afford to. 26%, Mark, you're going to love this one. Concerns about the environment.
Oh, my God.
So it's not green enough to have children?
If you wait till you can afford it to have children, you'll never have children. Because the expense never ends.
Right.
I mean, give me a break.
Right. Well, Trump's trying to encourage more people to have babies to try to reverse the declining birth rate. And one idea that's been thrown out that's getting quite a bit of pushback is a $5,000, what they're calling, baby bonus for new moms. So basically what they're saying is the White House would consider handing out up to $5,000 per delivery to reverse that birth rate decline.
How do you feel about that?
You know,
I'd be happy to bank it,
yeah.
Is it retroactive?
Can I get my 15 grand? Yeah, really. Would that encourage some women to have children? Maybe. A lot of women, and in fact, I was watching videos about this yesterday, were complaining about, well, what you really need to do is to fix the fact that we don't have enough maternity leave and all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, let me just say that. I completely understand the argument about maternity leave and all of these things. But here are the things you have to think about when you're talking about, I deserve more maternity leave that's fully paid. The only way to do that is to either raise everyone's taxes, because other countries, the reason they have ridiculous amounts of paid maternity leave is because their taxes are through the roof.
60-70%.
Free,
yeah.
Right. It's not free. I mean, you are paying for it. You're just not paying for it at the exact time that you're having the child. It's coming out of your taxes, okay?
And everybody else's taxes.
Exactly. Everybody, it's like us being expected to pay children. For people who didn't, you know, who went to college, and you didn't go to college, but you're expected to pay for other people who went to college with this forgiveness program. Mm. Why should someone who doesn't have children or can't have children be expected to have higher taxes to pay for maternity leave? I don't support that. The other thing is, I mean, what do you expect these smaller businesses to do? They will go out of business if you force a mom and pop shop, the average mom and pop shop, to offer, let's just throw out a number, 12 weeks of fully paid maternity leave. I would venture to guess a good majority of them could not handle it. They would never want to hire women. Then they'd be viewed as discriminatory. I mean, you just go down the line of all the issues it creates. So, yeah, in theory, it would be great. Wouldn't we love that? I get it as a woman. I'm pregnant right now. Children are expensive. I would love to have more maternity leave, but you can't. But it's just not feasible.
To the issue of the payment, is it enough? Like, I almost wonder, if you're going to do something like that, you really want to incentivize people, give them a tax credit toward daycare. Like, let part of their daycare be deductible from their taxes, or something along those lines might be more encouraging than a one-time $5,000 payment. Because yeah, you and I both know how this happens. At that point in your life when you have children, you're probably fairly financially strapped. Most people, like, if you're having kids when most people do it, 27 to 35 years old, in that range, you're early enough in your career that unless you have gone to an Ivy League law school and you're making $600,000 a year, you're living paycheck to paycheck, or you're able to save a little bit, but not a lot. You get a $5,000 check in the bank in the mail, you're probably paying bills with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, immediately. When the goal,
or paying for some of your maternity leave.
When the goal would be, I think, to get people to encourage somehow to save that money, right? Maybe instead you're automatically given an IRA account. If you set up an IRA account, the government will put $5,000 in it, and you're penalized if you pull it out for anything other than tuition when the kid is, or living expenses when the kid turns 18 years old. Like, you have to put it into an IRA and let it grow for 20 years, and then it's going to really benefit the child.
I think the daycare idea is what I like the best. Or if you've decided to be a stay-at-home mom, then you would essentially just bank that money, I guess.
Yeah, the people are going to spend it. Well, I mean, they are. It's what happened during COVID.
The COVID stimulus checks.
Those stimulus checks, people went out and spent it. And that's why they gave it to them, because they knew exactly what was going to happen with it. People went out and bought 60-inch televisions with it. They didn't stick it in the bank and save it.
I agree. I don't think it's a terrible idea. Maybe you could say it's a step in the right direction. I don't know if this is ultimately going to fix the problem, but you have to do something. I just think, to your point, there might be better things you could do that would encourage people to use that money in a wiser way. I think the daycare idea is fantastic because, I mean, it is like a mortgage to put your kids in daycare
these days. I'm trying to think back to when we had our daughter, who just turned 30, by the way. When we were having discussions about it, getting ready to start a family, if we sat down and thought, well, I don't know if we're ready yet. Maybe we're ready. What do you think? Well, if we do it, we can get $5,000. I don't think that would have made the decision one way, like, yeah, we got to do this. We're going to get $5,000. I just don't know if it's enough of an incentive that's what's going to encourage more people to have children. Mm-hmm. It's either going to have to be a bigger amount of money or some promise that if your truest hesitation to have children is that you know how much your neighbor's paying for daycare and you can't imagine throwing all that money down the tube for the next 5 years until the kid is in school, that if you do have the kid, the government's going to let you have a tax credit, a partial tax credit of some sort toward those expenses. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a tax credit for up to half of what it would cost you to put the kid in daycare for a year, and then you get to subtract that from your taxes, which may mean you get some money back at the end of the year, mm-hmm. but it's certainly, you know, it's going to help.
But the financial concern element of this isn't even the biggest factor. According to that Pew Research Center study, 57% said they just don't want to.
Okay.
People like to travel. People like to know that if their friends call them, you know, that night and say, hey, you want to go to a concert? Hey, you want to go to dinner? That they can just up and leave, that they have no responsibility and nothing holding them back. I feel like that's the phrase I hear a lot is, it's going to hold me back. You know, another option that's being tossed around would supposedly involve the government funding programs to educate women on their menstrual cycle so they know when they're ovulating and then able to conceive.
I'm going to get myself in trouble if I say what I was about to say. I'm going to get myself in trouble if I say what I was about to say.
Let's hear it.
But
come on.
Don't you already do that? Don't you take your temperature? Like, if you're trying to get pregnant, don't you take your temperature and you know you have a pretty good idea when it's prime time? I mean, don't you? We did that.
I did not take my temperature. I mean, there's other ways to know, but I would think both of you guys would be stunned at how little women know about their cycles.
Okay.
Well, but stunned.
Have no comment on what we know
Ethan,
about your cycles.
Ethan, what would you like to add to the conversation?
We are not going to talk about that, are we, Ethan?
Aren't there apps that'll track it?
There are
apps that will track. There's little sticks. I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can track. Basal temperature is another one that you take every morning as soon as you wake up at the same time.
I've got to find the crazy lefty who claimed that Donald Trump wanted to track her menstrual cycle so he wouldn't know when she was going to get pregnant so he could keep her from having an abortion. Remember that one? I've got the soundbite somewhere. It was back pre-election when I found that one. I'll leave that one to you, Kim. I have no idea. I just assumed all women knew that and mm-mm. all women knew how to track those
very,
things.
Very few women.
Wow.
Yeah. I would argue that. So there was actually a clip. We talked to Todd Pyro pretty much every Tuesday morning around 7:20 on the show. And there was an interview he was doing with a woman talking about this idea. And there she mentioned another country that maybe does things a little bit better. Listen to this.
I think we need to look at success stories. Israel is one of the few developed countries that has an above replacement fertility rate. And they're doing something very differently. One of those things is that the entire family unit is involved in raising a child. And Israelis often see childbirth as something more important than just immediate satisfaction, right? So they want to pass down traditions. They want to extend their lineage. And I don't know if Americans are thinking long term about that. Unfortunately, politics is downstream from culture. So if we want to change that point, that's something that has to start with individuals.
I would agree with her completely.
I agree. And it is interesting. She's talking about how Israel just does things a little bit better. And it's this feeling of it's the whole community. I mean, you hear that they'll say, oh, it takes a community. It takes a what do they say? Is that it? A community to raise a kid?
A village.
Thank you. A village. Still very early. I mean, that is true. I can't imagine not having the help that I had with my family and my husband's family and friends who would come over and watch Easton when he was a newborn and let me go sleep for an hour or take a shower or do something.
The left has hijacked that phrase. Hillary Clinton hijacked that phrase, takes a village, to try to say that you need to let other people parent your children. So you got to be careful about that one.
True.
I would agree. So here's what I'd say about this. I am so completely involved and love my family that I have to be very careful that I'm not criticizing too much the people who make the decision not to. But like the person who had an opportunity in their 20s to put some money aside for retirement and decided not to do it, and then they turn 65 and they don't have enough money to live on, sometimes you look back on life and you regret those things. And I always think that for the people who were intentional about not having children, I think you're going to reach a point in your life where you're going to regret that because you don't have anybody around to spend your time with in your golden years. Like, to, there's nothing greater in the history of the world to me than being a grandparent. I just have to tell you that. I'm consumed with it. I went out of my way last night to stop and see my grandkids because I knew they were going to be at the tumbling place at 5 o'clock, and I drove by there just to see them. I'm consumed with it. So I think that at some point you'll look back on that and regret it. And I don't know if a $5,000 offer is enough to change people's minds on that.
I like the daycare. Help us pay for daycare.
Yeah, that might
help.
Very
expensive.
That might help. It might. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. There was a report released that's had very little mention in the mainstream media. Tulsi Gabbard declassified this plan by the Biden administration that is going to shock your senses. Even though we had hints of it along the way, it's now public. We're going to talk about this when we get back. Stay tuned.
Odin's Raven.
All right. So if you haven't seen this report from Tulsi Gabbard, you know, I know Fox, Newsmax, probably OANN, they're going to report on this. But the mainstream media has reported on it. I've missed it. So Tulsi Gabbard declassified a shocking plan under former President Joe Biden's administration for dealing with what they labeled domestic terrorists. Remember when they came up with that term and they claimed the greatest threat to America was domestic terrorists? And when they said that, they're talking about you and I. They're talking about members of the Knights of Columbus. They're talking about parents that go to school board meetings and complain loudly about the wokeness of their school district. You, to the left, are a domestic terrorist for daring to challenge their woke policies. We called this out at the time, but everybody thought it was an overreaction by the right-wing media. Everybody thought it was an overreaction. You're just overreacting to all this, remember? you need to understand what they've done here. This, for people not familiar with this, this declassified document, to combat domestic terror, the Biden administration advocated censorship, closing people's accounts at banks or financial institutions, and gun control. They wanted to identify criminal activity through people's speech. They aimed to track concerning non-criminal behavior, a move with no precedent in the United States.
The plan started by casting a wide net in how it identified concerning activities. It instructed authorities, including the FBI, to provide resources to state, local, tribal, and territorial law enforcement to cover symbology and phraseology used by domestic terrorists. Gee, what do you think that would be? Most disturbingly, it directed the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security to target incidents of concerning non-criminal behavior. What it does is mirror that European Digital Security Act we've talked about, where people have gone to jail over there for comments they've made online that have been labeled disinformation or hate speech. It gets worse, right? Despite repeated public denials, it followed an explicit policy of identifying people based solely on their political views. Listen to this. In a 2022 FBI whistleblower exposed the rollout of a related document, the FBI's Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide, for identifying violent militia extremists. FBI Director Chris Wray talked about the guide. It advised agents to be suspicious of symbols like 2A, but by the way, which I have on many T-shirts, and imagery referencing the Second Amendment. It flagged historically significant emblems like the Betsy Ross flag or the Gadsden's flag as indicators of potential domestic terrorists. Sounds like something the King of England might have done in 1775. And, of course, it categorized certain Catholic Americans as potential domestic terrorists. Thank you, Tulsi Gabbard, for declassifying this. They wanted to remember they were recording plate numbers of parents who attended school board meetings. This whole thing was almost a complete takeover by the progressives in the Joe Biden administration. Imagine if that had continued under Kamala Harris, none of the policies would have changed because Biden wasn't in charge of those anyway. It was the people surrounding him. This is shocking stuff. And the mainstream media, they don't want to talk about it because they're hoping maybe it can make a comeback if they can just get a Democrat back in the White House. Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive, conservative, everybody should be outraged over this. What a huge bullet we've dodged here in November of last year. And people need to wake up and realize what was going on in the direction we were going in this country. Next hour, we're going to talk to Ryan Schmelz about Chris Van Hollen and yet another illegal alien killing somebody in